Blog Talk Radio.
This is an unlawful gathering. The truth is out there.
This is the underground.
Ranger fans, report to the critical thinking hangar.
And now here is the starting lineup for the New York Rangers.
This is New York Rangers hockey.
Welcome to Blue Shirt Underground Radio, Monday night edition. Eddie, good evening. How are you, buddy?
A little bit cantankerous, but that's something that's happening off ice. But as far as Rangers go, hey. It's wondrous, it's stupendous, it's glorious. It's a good time to be a Ranger fan. I'm doing well.
It is. We came on the show, I think it was 3 weeks ago, maybe it was three weeks ago, on a Monday night, much like tonight, and I said that you would be hard-pressed to find a better weekend in New York sports. I said the Jets had won. I don't remember who they played that weekend, but they had won. Giants had the big comeback win against the Patriots, and the Rangers had beaten Washington on Friday, Philly on Saturday. It was just a perfect weekend. But you know what? I think this weekend was even better. We had two wins from the Rangers, get the Jets trouncing. Oh, what was that? Kansas City University they played yesterday? Was that Kent State? What a joke.
They fired their coach.
Yeah, I saw that. Then Dolphins fired theirs, too. But then, of course, huge win for the Giants last night. My next-door neighbor come running over here before the game started in his Tony Romo jersey and yelling in my window every time they scored. How about them Cowboys? And then he went to bed before the game was over. So when I went to go yell at him, because, you know, I've told you this before. I take it until it's time. I don't trash talk now until it's all said and done. And then I went out to go give him his, and he had gone to bed. So as soon as the show's over, you'll hear. I'll have my megaphone. I'll be yelling over his fence. How about those Cowboys? But anyway, so yes, a wonderful weekend for the Rangers. They get off that one game schneid they were on, or I guess it was two games, wasn't it? It was the overtime.
The shootout loss, but they got a point in that game. Yeah,
right. And I think it says a lot about this team that they came back from that loss and played as well as they did over this weekend. I mean, that was a tough loss. That's a tough loss for them to take. You know, we've seen Ranger teams in the past lose games like that and just fall apart. You know, you could have easily seen that team going on a 4 or 5 game skid after a heartbreaking loss like that. But they bounced back nicely. They played a great game against Buffalo with Biron filling in. And then Henrik yesterday against the Panthers, the first-place Panthers, who everybody's talking about.
They run.
They shot
over them last night.
They did. There's no other way to put it. Every time I was flipping, you know, obviously my main focus was on the Giants. But every time I flipped to the Rangers, they were scoring or I had just missed another goal. They've played the Capitals, the Flyers, the Penguins, and I know everybody's got injury problems or whatever problem. Well, you know what? We got injury problems. You know, I don't apologize for nothing. And you know, the Rangers just keep on rolling. And I want to say they are 1 point behind the Flyers for first place, or maybe it's 2 points with a game at hand. They've still got three games at hand on the Penguins, and the Penguins got problems. I know they played well without Crosby at the beginning of the season, but he's out for an extended period of time again, and they've got a couple other guys out for a while. They've got problems. So you got to start, I think, and you could tell me I'm right or I'm wrong, but I think...
Well, I know what you're going to say, but go ahead.
I think that you got to start looking at... You know, we're almost three or four weeks away. Three or 4 weeks away from being halfway through this season. And I think you're getting to the point where you could say that this is no longer just a good start by this team, but maybe this is this team. Would you agree or disagree?
Well, if you put it this way, and the only way I can, rise. Rise, Ranger fans. The time has come for us. Opportunity has knocked. We are answering. This team is special. Yes, and not the kind of special that we were used to before this. You know, when they term a person special. No, this team is special.
You mean like Costa special?
No, not Costa special. Costa's an extra...
He's terrestrial?
He's a special extraterrestrial. No, let me get back to this. Absolutely, positively, I have faith. I am rising to the occasion. This team is not like any other Ranger team. I am going on the... On for the record, Jim Schmiedeberg.
Here it comes.
Say, well, it's a long way to go. I'm saying playoffs. I'm saying home ice advantage. I'm saying it all. Because there are a lot of players. First of all, this team has been resilient last year, this year. I believe that the evolution of John Tortorella's process has reached the younger players. There is real leadership on this team, on-ice leadership with Ryan Callahan's play. We were playing with that de facto captain, Chris Drury, who was horrible. Horrible. I saw no evidence of any kind of leadership by that previous captain. With Ryan Callahan, oh my Lord. I'm getting spoiled. I was furious in that Tampa game that they lost. Furious. How dare they lose?
How dare they? How dare they
because
lose?
Because they had that game. They had that game. First of all, they were dominating Tampa. Tampa looked listless. No Martin St. Louis. And then Ryan McDonagh makes an absurdly horrific, disastrous pass up the middle, intercepted by Ryan Malone. Shot score. I'm flipping out. How can you make this play? How stupid are you? Come on, Ryan. You're better than that. We have them. We're out playing them.
I just talked you up on Tampa Bay Live.
Oh, yeah. I was on that Tampa show. Me and Jim were invited. They said, to Jim, who should you watch for? Jim says, Derek Stepan. He's a guy that you should look. I say, well, a really special Ranger to look for is, special is that word again, is Ryan McDonagh. And then he delivers a gift, an early Christmas gift. Makes me look like a stenod to all those people over at the Thunder Radio over there.
Blue Thunder.
And just sucks the win out of that game for the Rangers. And we'll get to the Artie, you know, musket shot heard around the world. But to me, it was a horrible pass. But I know Ryan McDonagh is logging tremendous amounts of minutes here. I mean, he's only played in 45, 50 NHL games. So this guy is he's logging major minutes here, and he's going to make some mistakes. So he makes the mistake, the Rangers pay for it. And, you know, just getting back to it, they were playing up in the pregame with the Michael Delzato and Stamkos are buddies. Stamkos is still maintaining that Michael Delzato is the best passer in the NHL still. Now, he has shown some flashes. He made a nice pass, I think, to Hagelin in the Buffalo game up the ice. Not sure if that was the floor. I think it was the Buffalo game, yeah.
I think you're right.
So, that being said, I was it now. What got me more upset, can I go on this Tampa game? Because I know it's the you know, three games back. But this was like my most passionate game of the three. This goddamn Dominic Moore. I'm going to have to meet him in person and strangle him. This maniac is
kills us.
Constantly scoring against us. He's a complete joker. He is killing me. He's absolutely eating my heart out. You know what you're supposed to be looking for right now. He's absolutely
killing,
eating
you
my
are killing me.
This
He's
guy is scoring super.
Stop. Stop doing this to me. Stop. Hello.
Oh.
That's what I was saying. Dominic Moore is a scoring machine against us. Dominic Moron. That's all I have to yell. 157 left in regulation. Okay, people want to talk about the musket shot heard around the world. That, to me, Artie, we all know he's a quiet kid. And why did everybody become hockey puritans around here? All I saw in it was a classless move by Artie. All the Ranger fans. Well, you know, he forgot himself. I'm not really proud of Artie. Screw that shit. You know how many times the Rangers have been made laughing stocks of? We're the victims of that kind of stuff. I'm glad we did it. I'm glad we're the bad guys. We're always the good guys. I liked being the bad guy. And what Tampa did was absolutely perfectly fine with me. They didn't even do... What did they do? How did Artie get 4 minutes for roughing in that? All he did was get beat on with gloves. They didn't even really hit him. And that Steve Downey, he's classified as the most useless player in the NHL. All he does is look for fights and take stupid penalties. And then Dubinsky winds up beating up, I think, Bergeron or some guy that doesn't fight. It was a lose-lose for them. You know, and listen, Artie did it. It was entertaining. It's a during-the-week game. I want to see entertainment. That was an entertaining game until Dominic Moore
fucked it up.
Ah.
And I don't. I said this in the Facebook group. I don't buy this. Oh, it got Tampa Bay light. It got them. It fired them up.
One goal.
It fired them up. They weren't fired. They need that to fire. I'm not a believer in this bulletin board material bullshit. If you can't get yourself fired up to play a professional hockey or football game, you need incentive. You got a problem.
They were down a goal. It was like the Rangers were up 4 goals and they came back. The game was in the balance regardless. Why did Ranger fans come so? This isn't good for the game. Screw the game. What's the game done for us, Jim?
We've been watching Ovechkin and his cronies skate in a moving pile on the ice every time he scores a goal. I mean, come on.
Bunny hopping all over the place.
Celebrate. Let Artie have his big deal. Let him have his fun. Jesus. I mean, you know, look at the... You remember... you know, like Theo Fleury when he scored that goal and he slid all the way down the ice. I'm having a brain fart as to when that was, but you remember those things, those celebrations, no matter what sport they're in. So what? Let Artie have his fun. There's nothing wrong with it. That poor guy, I felt bad for him. The next day, he's got to go in front of the whole media, and he's got to apologize about this and that. Come on. It's over. Let it go.
Exactly. And, you know, and Torts stood up for him. They wanted to talk to him after the game. He was not available to talk to the press. Tortorella, I'm telling you, not getting enough praise. Ranger fans don't even mention him. But once something goes wrong,
they'll want to fire. Avery wasn't in the lineup yesterday. Oh, Torts got to
win.
And they actually won a game. They won a game without Sean Avery in the lineup. How did they? 6 goals without Sean Avery in the lineup. Miracle.
I don't know how they managed it.
Miracle. Unbelievable.
I don't know if the fact that they won with Eric Christensen in the lineup may have been even more of a miracle.
Played a decent game.
No, this team is resilient. That's why I said rise, Ranger fans. I'm starting to see it now on in the streets, the mean streets of Long Island, the Ranger jacket to come. And now people are starting to feel like, wow, we can dust these jackets off. We've come out. We got some pride going. And that game goes to the shootout. Jim, let me tell you. When he put John Mitchell out, now I can see why your man crushes on John Mitchell. Because I'm starting to like this dude as well. Just comes to play every night. That Hagelin line with him. I gotta speak. Okay. Thank you, sir. That Hagelin line is total energy. If it didn't have Brian Boyle dragging it down, it'd be real energy. But I'll talk about that later. There's a few things to really bitch about, because right now everything's just going so great. But I'm getting so frustrated in the shootout with Marian Gaborik's moves. He does this thing where he skates in, goes to the backhand, and then almost like just tries to like slip it through the goalie's pads. There's no like real move. He's not very good at shootouts, and I could see why.
Yeah. Well, the last shootout they were in, I don't remember who it was against, but he did score. He scored the game winner, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Hoagie Epps put it, the backhand nudge. That's his move.
Nudge. I like that word.
It's the backhand nudge. But who could complain about Gaborik, really? Because he's
no. Well. He got benched? What was that all about?
It's head games. I wish we had the Foreigner song. Head games. You know, that's from time to time. He's good at
that. I don't get it. I don't understand that. Why is it? Why does he insist on? Is this just he feels that Marian Gaborik needs this constant kick in the ass? But when does Brandon Dubinsky get one? When does Brandon Dubinsky sit for a period? When does Brian Boyle sit for a period? Thank you, Chris, the Hurricanes. When does Brian Boyle sit for a period? That guy's an anchor, like you said, dragging him down. I just, you know.
Yes, I mean, I agree. I think it's about time Dubinsky be a healthy scratch. That sends a message, I think. A real message.
Put Boyle and Dubinsky on the goal a year line. The yeah. Acronym. It's going to cause trouble.
Yeah, that's true.
you like that? We're supposed to have a guest here in the next couple of minutes. Now, this guest, he is, and Eddie doesn't even know who it is, but he's the host of another show on Blog Talk Radio, a hockey show called, it is called Icing. I think it's called Icing. I have to look at his email again. Icing for Everyone, it's called. He's co-host with Jason Knox, and he's invited Eddie and I to come on his show Wednesday night immediately following our show to talk about the Rangers, and it's right here on Block Talk Radio. So we'll take, when the show's over, we'll just take all you guys with us over into that their chat room, because I told them that we'd bring our well, I'll use the word special brand of fans with us, and it turns out the gentleman that's going to join us, his name is Colin, and he used to work for MSG, and he happens to have a very famous relative, Eddie. Very famous. Especially on this show.
Emil Francis? Colin Francis?
It's just insanity.
Colin Cosell.
Wow. Howard Cosell? Wow.
This is his grandson, Colin. He is a stand-up comedian. He does some work on MSG, or he has in the past. He does some broadcasting. He does some writing. He's been on Saturday Night Live. He's done a bunch of different things, and he's also a big-time Ranger fan. And like I said, he also hosts a show here on Blog Talk Radio. And he's... He's not competition. They do a hockey show. He wants us to come on to talk, to give him an excuse for the Rangers to dominate his show. I guess his partner, Jason, isn't a Ranger fan. So he wants us to come in and talk Rangers with him. It's an NHL show. It's not a Rangers show.
This is highly unusual.
It's just insanity.
So, and I was telling Colin that, you know, when we do the Monday night shows, you do the opening and you do your impersonation, that it's really funny. And he said that he was going to come on the air. How did he put it? He said, I'm going to come on the air and show, I'm looking forward to showing Eddie how to truly imitate my grandfather. To which I responded, dueling Howards is exactly why internet radio was invented. So he's in a dart league tonight or something, but he said he was going to join us when he was on his break, so hopefully he'll call in soon. But anyway, Colin Cosell is his name. You can look him up. You can Google him. He's got his own website, tells all the things he's done, and he talks a little bit about being on MSG. I think he was the host of that high school varsity show, whatever it was called, or something like that.
Oh.
The one that, I think he was the host of it before somebody we did battle with went to host it.
Ah.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
I don't even want to mention his name on his program anymore. But, so he's gotten into our show the last couple of weeks. I know he's been catching us on the podcast. He's been sending me Twitter messages and asked if you and I wanted to come on his show, and we traded some emails back and forth and the whole bit.
Oh,
so,
yeah, that's cool. That's cool.
So hopefully he'll be here in just a few minutes. Now, just getting back to what I was saying you've got a banged up Pittsburgh team, right? You've got the Capitals. I don't know what's going on with them. Firing Boudreaux hasn't made that much of a difference to me, it seems like. You got Florida. You know Florida's not going to be the number three seed come the end of the year. The Flyers have problems with injuries. I think Brizgalov got hurt yesterday, didn't he, or Saturday?
Did not hear about that. I was away this weekend.
That's right. You were away. But I believe Brizgalov got hurt. I'm not sure how long he's going to be out. So, while the Rangers, you can't classify
them. Give us the cup. Give me the cup.
I don't want to get right out there and say, hey. But this is the type of year.
Adam hosing you.
But they can be opportunistic. They can take advantage of the situation in what is shaping up to be a down year for the East. It doesn't look like you're going to have a Pittsburgh or a Washington run away with the conference. You know what I'm saying? Toronto's, they're behind the Rangers. Montreal, the Devils aren't, they're in 12th place. This is the type of year where the Rangers might be able to steal their way into the later rounds, but I have them go to the conference finals anyway. So
I don't even steal it. To me, the Rangers, their coaching staff, and I'm going to give it full marks so far. They have played without Sauer the last two games. They played without Mark Stone. they are able to bring these defensemen in. And now when Steve Emminger came to this team, there wasn't much of a book on him. He was a fill-in guy. Some might say a little bit of a journeyman, seventh defenseman. He's coming in. And whatever they're teaching these guys, and I'm going to find that out when this phone call comes in, that whatever they're teaching the Jeff Waitkes and the Steve Emmingers is paying off, because these guys are playing as a unit, they're buying into what they're teaching, and they're overachieving. They're hitting their full potential. And these are with guys who have had NHL experience. With the younger players, of course, the process takes a little bit longer, and I think we're seeing with that when Michael Delzato, who is now a plus 15. Now, I know everybody in Rangerland's going to say, oh, plus minus don't mean nothing. Malik was a plus 31 year, blah, 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 blah.
You know what's funny about plus minus rating? I had this conversation with somebody the other day. Plus minus rating is just like the quarterback rating in football. When it's good, everybody says, oh, that's a useless stat. When it's bad, it's the first thing people bring up. Oh, his quarterback rating's 80, 82.
Right.
He's minus 9. That's terrible. But if he's plus 9, oh, that stat doesn't mean anything. Or his quarterback rating was 102, oh, that stat's useless. That doesn't mean anything. When it's good, nobody wants to talk about it. When it's bad, it's the first thing everybody brings up.
Right.
Theo Fleury told us it's the most important stat there is.
And Theo was sober when he said it.
What do we care? Nyland came on the show drunk. Everybody might as well.
Yeah, really. So what I'm saying is the Rangers defensemen, the Rangers have their injury problems. Losing a Mark Stahl, but we're used to this. Last year, we went through that big rut of forwards that were down when Callahan and Dubinsky were exchanging injuries, and they brought up guys that filled in. Now the defense playing a cohesive game. The power play, which is, I think, Jeff Cooper. I think it's Jeff Cooper, right, who has called into the show and said if the Rangers don't get their power play straightened out, they're going nowhere. Well, guess whose power play is looking pretty good now? Even this kid, this guy, Anton Stralman, another guy who got cut by the Devils in preseason. He looked pretty good against Florida, for sure. He looked okay in Tampa. He looked better in Buffalo, and he looked really good in the Florida game.
Well, the thing I notice about him is that he likes to shoot the puck, and he's got a pretty accurate shot. Not like Delzato, who shoots the puck and it could go anywhere.
Who? Stralman?
No, Stralman's got a pretty accurate shot. I said Delzato's shot. Delzato shoots the puck, and I would duck if I was sitting in the blue seats. It could go anywhere.
Oh, on the power play, especially. That's something. I said it in the Facebook. It's going to be baby steps with this guy. It's just going to be like, first of all, when he's on the power play to take a shot, he wants to drill it through the net, through the boards, into the crowd. He's got to just get it on net. He just wants to drive it home so hard. It's like Plexi Rexy out there. I mean, he is shooting shots at like 50 feet wide. And it could be a slap shot. It could be a wrist shot. He's got to calm down with that, okay? But it'll get there. Tortorella went on record and said that, Delzato is preparing himself for each game, not getting too down, not getting too high, better than he has. And I think John Tortorella is getting through to these guys. And in the Tampa game, it wasn't the Tampa game. It was that behind the bench show they had. And they were talking to Tortorella and Keehan, and Tortorella said there was a point when he was in Tampa when Richards, LeCavalier, and St. Louis came over to him and said, listen, the young guys, you're just too hard on them. You know, they're not, it's like a mutiny. They all hate you, you know. And we'd like to take over because it's just being too hard on them. And Tortorella said, fine, you guys want to take care of them? Go ahead. Well, after like a 5-game losing streak, they said, well, I think maybe you know best on how to handle these young guys. And we're starting to see the persistence that John Tortorella, these young guys, are developing. They are developing into better players. There's a very few instances where I can think a guy has regressed under Tortorella. I really believe that. You're seeing Derek Stepan has now elevated his game. You know, and the kid has talent, but also the work ethic. He's been hitting more this year, Stepan. Delzato has a lot of work at McAdell. He has a lot of work, you know, but he's learning the position. And he's doing well with a lot of minutes. Jim, this guy played, I think it was in the Buffalo game, he played like 25 minutes. Yeah, he played 25 minutes. I mean, if you would have told me, if you would have told me that he played that many minutes and the Rangers actually won a game last year, I would have been like, he played 23 minutes against the Panthers. Okay? If you would have told me he was going to play 23 minutes against anybody, including the Islanders, last year, I said, we would have lost. And the fact he's doing this with, you know, the guys behind them aren't the great. I mean, I'm just saying they're not household names. They've got a real great team concept. And this bunch, and you said it last week with Brad Richards, a couple weeks ago with Brad Richards introducing this fedora. There's a whole kind of feeling there of camaraderie and sticking up for each other that I think the Rangers have a good chance at making some noise in the playoffs for once because they have the offense. The last 2 years, they had no offense. It was Gaborik, and that was it. You're seeing Brad Richards. He scored again last night. You know, he's chipping in. Callahan's having a career year. He's having an absolutely career year. And last night, when they came out against Florida, they hit everything. Everything. Even Brian Boyle threw a hit, ladies and gentlemen. I think he threw two in one shift.
That's me gasping.
Yes. Is that your gasp? Has our guest arrived yet?
No.
Jeez. Well, anyway, I really feel like the Rangers are the real deal. I don't think this is like the phantom ride. Like today, they actually talked hockey on WFAN today for 4 minutes.
Well, we don't want that.
It was Beningo and Evan. And they talked about the Rangers. And then Joe was like, listen, bro, it's still early, bro. You know, it's a long season, bro. You know, that's, yeah, I understand it's a long season. And listen, we've been duped before. But this team doesn't, there's not many nights they just don't show up. We went through a lot of those. I really see the Rangers, especially that fourth line with Haglund. He's just what the doctor ordered on that. Him and Mitchell, they're working. They're getting shots on net. They're shooting. That's the kind of fourth line you need. That's the kind of fourth line you need. And I hope there isn't any more Artem Anisimov haters out there anymore. And I wouldn't use the word haters. But he's been on a tear. You know, he's scoring. Penalty killing is good. The power play is working. Why shouldn't I be optimistic? Why shouldn't this entire underground rise? We should all storm Madison Square Garden and have a higher Sather rally for 10 more years. Higher Sather.
Higher Sather. I love it. I still don't think you'd get much support.
No, I know. I'm being facetious. He has nothing to do with this. Now, I guess the big question I would pose to you is, what happens when Rupp and Wojtek Volski come back? What's going on? What's going to go on then?
Well, I think when Rupp comes back, I think that I think they ought to go up to Brian Boyle and say, "You feeling okay? You don't look good. Why don't you take a few days off and go rest? Maybe go to Florida. It's nice this time of year. Go to, you know what? We're going to Arizona on Saturday to play the Coyotes. Why don't you stay a few days, get yourself a little spa treatment in Scottsdale, you know, hang out with the girls at the clubs. You know, Mike Rupp, we'll be all right with Rupper for a few days, and we'll see what happens. I don't know what's going on with this guy, but he's just, we've talked about it. I've never seen a guy that big play so small.
Yeah. It's not even that. If he was chipping in with the odd goal.
They keep running him out there on the power play. It's, come on. It's enough. I got to quote my co-host. Stop it. Just stop it.
Stop it.
Stop it.
Got to get him out there. Got to get him out there.
can we stop? Here we go, right out of the broadcast. Can we stop with the, they're going to get him an empty net goal here, Sam. Try and get him going. Can we stop that? Can we stop it? Brandon Dubinsky, Brian Boyle, and the rest of them. Get him an empty netter here. Anything to get him going, Sammy. Stop. Again, quoting my co-host. Stop it.
Yeah. Really? Are we setting the bar so low for these guys that we got to, that's going to get them?
Got to get an empty netter.
I got news for you. Vince had 5 of them last year.
Yeah, he knows how to get them. He'll figure them out.
Yeah, well, you know, Brandon Dubinsky has his problems. I actually heard today, before I went out over to Hershey.
See Pierre LaRouche over
there? What?
Did you see Pierre LaRouche over in Hershey?
No, I didn't see him there.
It's where Ted Sater banished him to.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I forgot about that. Way back when.
The Hershey Bears.
I got a lot of flack from Brandon Dubinsky over this song.
On the camera, I was holding up a sign that said Dubinsky. Andrew SFL called him Don'tbinsky. I think I like that one better.
What did he say?
He called him Don'tbinsky. I think I like that better than Dustinsky. Next week we need a Brian Boyle song.
Going to need a larger. I'm going to need a whole new crew for this.
Well, let's see. What rhymes with Boyle? We got moil, toil, soil, foil.
I don't know. We're going to come up with the boil beneath my wings. I don't know. I'll come up with some kind of stupid song. I'll figure it out. So anyway.
Boyle in trouble, or whatever that was.
You know what? There's not a lot to complain about, folks. This team is good. I don't think it's in some kind of smoke and mirrors thing. Tortorella has them focused. Sure, they can go into a slump, but they're coming to play. I mean, barring any injuries, they look good. Gaborik is hot. Did you have a problem in this Buffalo game? Because I saw bits and pieces of it. But this was the Rangers 2,500 victory.
Right.
2,500. Why am I having problems saying that? Their 2,500th victory.
Right.
Is there any? I mean, weren't they like second to last of the original six in victories? Why are we really celebrating this? To me, this is like a non-factor. Maybe 3,000 or 2,000.
Why did they celebrate 85 years?
Am I too jaded for this? That, you know, I just they just make it through. You know, because I hate the broadcast.
Right.
Did you get excited over this at all, or did you go, wow?
I didn't even know it until they said it. No, I didn't care when it was done. 2,500. It's like last year they celebrated 85 years. Okay.
Right.
Average that out. 85 years, 2,500 wins. How many wins do they average a year? And they're next to last to do it. Only the Blackhawks are left in the 2,400.
Right. It's not like
and what do the Canadians have? What do the Canadians have? 4,500?
Imagine
that. They're even behind the Maple Leafs.
Right. I mean, the Maple Leafs have been good for 50 years.
They've been good since Punchimlack.
Yeah. Phil Barocco. Cutter knows that.
Oh, boy.
But, it's been quite a while. I thought that was just a total non-story. Shorthanded goals are back, Jim. Rangers are big with the shorties now.
Yeah.
Speaking
of shorties, Zuccarello's out for a while.
Yeah, I saw that.
I don't know if you heard that. Which reminds me, I just got a message from Nick from SNY, who covers the Whale. He's going to join us Wednesday night about 9:00. Give us an update because they have not given a full diagnosis on Zuccarello yet. You know, smoke and mirrors. It's a lower body injury, and nobody knows from nothing. They got no doctors in Hartford. So Nick's going to come on Wednesday night and do a little whale watching with him. Let us know how Wade Redden's doing and how Voros is doing and Chris Newberry.
Very interesting. Mr. Rangers sent down Chris Newberry. What's their record? Somebody figure that out. I bet you they've lost one game. Yeah, I think they've lost one game.
14-1.
Bell Biv DeVoe got suspended and sent down.
Look at that. Hey, Howie just posted it in the chat room. The Habs have 3,107 wins, 600 more wins than the Rangers. That's like, seven full seasons of wins. The Rangers would have to go 82-0 for the next 7.5 years to catch the Habs.
I feel kind of bad about Zuccarello's injury, and this is for personal reasons. You know, I am an avid card collector, right?
Yeah.
I acquired a Matt Zuccarello, a hockey card, That is a one. No. No, it worked out for me.
Oh. All
right. It's a one of one. So there's only one of them, obviously. So I put it on the eBay for $150. A guy from Norway bought it within 5 minutes of it being up on eBay. Because, to me, I think Matt Zuccarello will never be anything in a Ranger uniform. He may be something somewhere else, but I don't care. And I feel bad the guy bought the card, and now he's got this injury, but I'm still taking the guy's money.
Oh.
I don't feel that bad. I mean, I can't, you know, I can't, he might be just a super fan who loves Matt Zuccarello, but that just goes to show you how popular that Norwegian Hobbit is over there. I mean, usually these eBay things take a while. It's not like you throw stuff. I know it's a one of one, and it's a very but this thing went bam. I was like, $150, nice. And so anyway, it's it was
all right. So Paul's bringing up the fact in the chat room that the Canadians are 15 years older than the Rangers. Even still, to be 600 wins. And they only played what? Like, didn't they only play like 30 games back in those days? 30-game season? 30 or 40-game season?
As far as I'm concerned, the NHL did not exist until the New York Rangers graced the league.
That's true.
I wasn't even a New York American fan back then.
Oh, and of course, somebody's making a comment about old hockey, so Cutter's got to correct them.
Oh, yeah, well, if there's anybody who's an expert on old and useless NHL information...
On everything.
On everything, it would be Cutter.
Shut up, Cutter!
So, it's all good in our neighborhood, as I say it, Jimmy, my boy. I mean, just... you know, even Biron, who I was very, in his last start, he had me, and he didn't play so well, in my opinion, and he played a hell of a third period in a Buffalo game, and I thought Lundqvist last night also had a quiet, very good game. He made some key stops. I mean, he always plays well. It's almost like a given.
Right.
And like I always make that joke when McLeody goes, oh, Henrik looks sharp tonight. When doesn't he look sharp? I mean, the guy is that bad. But he made some key saves in that game, and the Rangers just piled it on. Rangers just piled it on. And, you know, you would think, you know, the shows would get shorter with nothing to complain about. But I'm just enjoying the ride, man. I'm looking forward to the next game. I love the games, you know, three games in four nights, the whole bit, you know, it's rocking. Now, you're telling me where are the Devils and Islanders, just if I digress in this conference, where are these little piddling teams that were way below us?
The Devils are 12th with a record of 14-3-1. They have 29 points. And the Islanders... The lowly Islanders, 9-12-6. Do I have that right? Yes. 24 points. That is good enough for 14th in the conference.
When is that guy, Capuano, going to be fired?
Well, there's been rumors. There's been rumors.
Who are they going to hire anyway? Little Wang?
Al Arbor.
He ain't coming back. He doesn't want that career record tasted.
He'd hire Trottier.
Probably wandering around there for a free lunch.
Who paid for those nachos? Not you, Brian. I'll tell you that.
True. And I also have to say, I feel the Rangers have the type of team, as the season goes on, and they play these teams that kind of are out of the playoffs or not giving their full effort, or injuries start to wear upon them. The Rangers play the type of team game that will gain them points. Now, again, last year, maybe at this time, maybe a little bit later, we were talking about almost the same scenario where the Rangers were playing well, you know, very resilient. I've used that word a billion times with this team. But then they kind of stumble, especially in the last week of the season. But it seems like the competition right now from below, and with the games at hand that we have on a lot of teams, we're in a different position. I felt like there was always teams behind us just on our tails, whether it be Carolina, whether it be Buffalo. Buffalo has got tremendous injury problems. I mean, they've got like 8 regulars out. There seems to be a lot of injuries around the league. Carolina is struggling big time. The Rangers are one of, I mean, the Bruins are another team. They never lose. I mean, you know, they very rarely lose. Tim Thomas, I think he's lost like 1 or 2 games in the last month and a half, practically. The Bruins are going to be tough. But the Bruins can be had. And now Chara's out. I just think the Rangers have one of the better teams. I think it's just, problem with the playoffs in the last 2 years has been zero offense. It felt like we were playing to tie. I feel like this year we have, with the addition of Richards and the addition of making that lineup, the gas line, the first line, emerging, I think we got to, you know, I think we have to make it a legit good team. I mean,
Cutter.
Cutter,
what? Don't contradict my co-host. How is he off his rocker? The Bruins have been struggling. They've won 7 of their last 10 games. Shut up.
Shut up, Cutter!
Shut up! How dare you,
Cutter? That's struggling?
How dare you, sir?
You know.
I mean, seriously.
You want to talk struggling? Go look at your own team. 5-4-1 in the last 10. It's all slipping away. 12th place coming up.
Yeah, you'll be yelling for Ron Wilson to be fired in a week.
Another 2 weeks.
I mean, James Reimer can't stop a beach ball with a boat oar now since he's come back.
Good. Hate that team now. We used to like them.
Well, they beat us twice, so we.
Well, only, it's. No. I only hate them because of Cutter.
Ah, well, I wouldn't go that far. Just hate Cutter. You don't have to hate the whole team.
Okay. All right. Fine.
But hate is a strong word. Let's face it.
Dislike. Not a, like, exactly. Thank you, Frankie. So we got Dallas. I don't know. He posted the long diatribe on my Facebook wall again like 2 days ago. I don't know where he's been. So we got Dallas, St. Louis, and then the big day on Saturday, Phoenix. I'll be in attendance. We'll be working the crowd at the Westgate. It's going to be fun. I got the show scheduled for 5 o'clock your time. For
what?
two hour shindig. So
yeah, I'm going to a Christmas party that night.
Oh, are you?
Show, yeah, and then I'll go to the Christmas party.
Why don't you do the show from the Christmas party? I think that'd be pretty cool.
I don't know if they have a Skype set. I don't have a Skype ready.
Can I get on the Wi-Fi? I'm doing radio over here.
I need the Wi-Fi.
Quiet. I'm skulls up broadcasting.
Did you happen to talk, about this December 28th thing with the guy from the Barney Rock?
He left a message on your Facebook, which I saw. I responded to it, and I said, call me. He didn't call me. So I don't know if he – but I didn't look today to see if he responded to the message that I left him. So I don't know.
Well, December 28th, the Barney Rock, New York City. Your one and only chance to see me and Jim Schmiedeberg in the same room.
In 2000. The last chance for 2011.
With our clothes on.
That's true.
Be there. It's going to be a holiday spectacular. I can tell you, there will be rare Ranger memorabilia. Give it away.
Really?
And, yes.
We don't have that in the budget.
Oh, I acquired it. 5-finger disc. And we're going to have a fedora. That's right. Have your picture taken and arrange a fedora.
Oh, I'm buying one. I've already been hunting them down. Walmart's got them.
Everybody bring your fedora. What the hell we got to give them away for? You bring them down. Take a picture with Jim in the mouth down there. I'm going to get drunk as a skunk.
Marcy sent me a text message the other day, the great Marcy Braverman. She says, are you really going to wear a fedora to this viewing party? I said, of course I am. I said, of course I am. I said, normally I always thought, you know, they were just for douchebags. But the Rangers have made that hat cool.
Yes, of course.
Of course I'm getting one.
Who gets this fedora? I know the players design it, and it was funny because I saw Stan Fischler. He got bitch slapped by Tortorella during the press conference. And he's like, why did you give the so-and-so the fedora today? And, well, you do your official. You do good official imitation.
Shit, I wasn't ready for it.
Okay.
Why did you give him the fedora? That's not my
Dan, you know I don't decide those things. Bitch slap. That's decided by the players.
The Crypt Keeper.
The last night's game, they gave it to Gavrik, but Stepan had 2 goals and an assist. Who's making these choices? Give it to Derek. I mean, I'm a little upset about that. I wanted to see Derek. Oh, anyway.
$4 million!
$4 million! They should have given it to Stubinski. He's never going to wear that hat.
He's going to get a head cold.
Give him a damn dunce cap. Make him wear it on the ice instead of his helmet.
By the way, I like the new picture of you on Facebook with the Christmas tree head and the Met jacket.
Yeah.
Very nice. You're looking sharp, my friend.
Oh, yeah, it all comes out. That's another freebie I got that. I told you about that Met jacket, right?
Yeah. Looking slim.
Looking
good. Looking good.
I'm working on it. It's a work in progress. Working on
good for you. You ready to go to the phones? Or?
Yeah, why don't we do that?
All right.
Quiet, numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.
623-823. You're on Blue Shirt Underground Radio. Who's this?
Hello?
Oh, 646-823. Sorry.
What's up, boys? It's Rock. How you doing?
Hey, Rock.
Hey!
That's guys, your number. Where you been?
Down.
Yeah, I'm actually calling from, I got the job phone, so I'm calling you from that. I'm actually at work right now. I'm glad you got
right.
to me, because I might have to run out. So if I leave abruptly, I apologize in advance.
You're going to be fine.
I'm sorry I missed the last few shows. Just a little bit crazy with work and whatnot. And, you know, like Eddie said earlier, I mean, it's really hard to complain when the team's winning. My only complaint is I hadn't gone to a Ranger game in a month, and I went to the last two home games, not yesterday, Tampa and Toronto, and I saw them lose both. So from my own personal perspective, I wasn't happy. But all in all, I think the team is playing well. Again, forgive me if you guys touched on a few things that I bring up. I love the Dubinsky song. That's classic. I'm going to be singing that all night now. I agree with you wholeheartedly, and I think that with Dubinsky, the difference between him and Boyle is this. Brian Boyle's never held out of a contract. He's not making an obscene amount of money where if he only gets you 15 goals this season, 10, 15 goals this season, you're not hamstrung with a bad contract for, 4 years or 3 years after this. I think there's a difference with the two. I think the expectations, despite that Boyle was actually a higher draft pick with Dubinsky, Dubinsky's expectations are a lot higher, and I think Boyle isn't going to receive the brunt of the fans because I don't think anyone had any expectations from him at all. Where Dubinsky's already held out of two contracts, this contract he went to arbitration with and the contract before, so now, you know, and me included, it's put up or shut up. I mean, like you wanted to be paid all these years. You bitched about being underpaid, and now come on, you know you got your money. Now let's go. Let's start putting some pucks in the net. And I always said it, Eddie. It's so funny you mentioned it. He doesn't hit the net. I don't even think I can't remember the last time he shot the puck on net. Period. He even got it towards the net, let alone missed it. And someone wrote this, and I don't know who it was, and I apologize, I don't know if you guys remember, that he's slowly distancing himself away from the core of this team. Now, already he's playing on the fourth line, And I'll tell you, I mean, again, I don't know if you guys, I'm sure you guys touched on this. I've been trying to catch up on the show. I've been falling behind. You talked about, I don't know if you talked about Bobby Ryan. If I'm the Rangers, you make trades, you make moves when the team is playing well, not when the team is in dire straits and has to make a trade. So if you have the, I'm not saying they have to make a move, but if a guy like Bobby Ryan is available down the stretch and you can trade him and maybe offset him for Dubinsky, now obviously it's going to cost you more than Dubinsky, I would make that trade in a second. And I'm not just saying that because Dubinsky is not playing well this year. I always said all along that I don't know if this team can win with Brandon Dubinsky. I always said Dubinsky and Callahan to me were the same type of player. Well, as far as I'm concerned, Callahan's totally distanced himself in the running where I figured Dubinsky and Callahan were kind of on the same level. At this stage, Callahan has surpassed him. So I
Absolutely.
Don't know how you guys feel about that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think we know. I think we all sat here at the end of last year and said Dubinsky and Callahan are never going to get the 20-goal guys. They're not getting over 20 goals. They're going to make 20-odd goals. They're never going to hit 30.
Mm-hmm.
They both got paydays. Dubinsky shit the bed, and Callahan is responding.
Yeah. And Jimmy, you brought up, and you guys both brought up Brad Richards. And let's be honest, is this team where they are right now without him? I mean, he's almost a point-a-game player. He's on pace to score over 30 goals, which would be a career high. All the people that didn't want this guy, I don't know if they are where they are right now, despite the fact that Stefan's playing the way he is and Gabrick. He gives them a second option where teams would asphyxiate themselves on Gabrick, and they would totally clog him up. And now, one night, Richard's line's playing great, and the next night, the gas line's playing great. And, you know, they kind of feed off each other. Well, now who do we defend? You know,
right.
Who do we play our top defensive pair against? It gives this team a second option, which they didn't have last year, which is why they were where they were. How many games have they scored 4 goals or more now? I mean, that to me, that just shows where Richards has helped this club and also the maturity of their young guys. I mean, if you would have told me at the beginning of this season, if I were to say, well, who would be the most likely to get traded, Anisimov or Dubinsky, I would have said Anisimov without even blinking an eye. Now, you know, you really can't make that choice yet. You kind of have to really see how the season progresses. Where they were at the beginning of the season, if you had to trade one of them, most of the fans would have said, well, we're going to trade Anisimov. Now, you can't say that. So the continual growth of their young guys, you know, with the addition of Richards, and they're doing this without Mark Stahl, without Michael Sauer for the last couple of games. And let's be honest, we expected something out of Wolski, and we expected a little bit of physicality out of Mike Rupp. And they're doing it without guys that we anticipated being in their lineup this season. So like you said, there's really nothing to complain about. You know, everything, you know, seems to be going full force. And the only thing I'm concerned about is when these guys get healthy, is that going to hurt the chemistry of the team? Are they going to try to force feed Mike Rupp and Wolski back into this lineup if this team is playing well? And then what do they do from there? See, Tortorella is a great coach when he plays the horses that he has. I want to see how he does when all these guys get healthy and have to integrate them back into the lineup. And if you remember last season, that he had a problem towards the tail end when all these guys started getting healthy, who he should play and who he shouldn't and who he should play with who. So I don't know how you guys feel about that. Hello?
Jim?
Yeah.
I'm here. I think with Avery, in Avery's case, I think Avery's going back down to Hartford.
Agreed.
I'm concerned with that. I have the same concerns you have. We're going to lose the John Mitchells for the Mike Rupps or the Haglunds for the Wojtek Wolskis? I don't want to see that happen. Frankly, I don't want to see Wolski play again for the Rangers. And I was a guy, like you said, depending on him to have a bounce-back season and contribute in the beginning. But the way they're playing, they don't need him. He's not their type of player. Now I can see why John Tortorella doesn't really like him. He's not one of his favorites. You know, it's this
now,
team really.
Where were you guys? And forgive me, if I might have missed that show when you guys brought that up. Where were you guys on the Bobby Ryan supposedly in possible trade or however you want to classify it? Where were you guys with that?
Well, for myself, I thought that if they had a chance to add Bobby Ryan, they wouldn't be able to take that next step to becoming a serious contender for the conference. Like, now they have another added gun. And, you know, you need three of those guys at least to really be. And it's kind of like the Richards factor that you're seeing now. People are not concentrating on him. He's scoring goals in a kind of like sneaky under the radar fashion, like he gets the first goal last night. Oh, Richard scored. Yeah, all right. Now, you know, the pressure that was put on that pack line last year and Gabrick as well, so enormous.
Right.
To score every night, and you hit it the nail on the head. The Rangers are getting 3 or 4 goals a game. Last year it was 2-1 shootouts, overtimes. It was, we would have a blip on the screen where they score 7 against Edmonton, 6 against Toronto, and then it would be back to 2-1.
And they weren't even going to shootouts last year, guys. They weren't even getting into overtime a lot of these games. They were losing 2-1 or losing 3-1 with the empty netter. I mean, if I remember correctly, they had the fewest overtime losses, like the extra point, so to speak, of any team in hockey last year. So they weren't, if they were getting to overtime, they were either winning or they weren't getting there. So it was like one or the other. So
I don't know how Jim felt about the Bobby Ryan. I was willing to go Dubinsky, and, you know, maybe I look dumb now for saying, but I was willing to go Anisimov, and I was willing to go with a draft pick. A draft pick or a prospect. That's how bad I wanted Bobby Ryan. Now, I know we Ranger fans get accused of going for the shiny new toy, and I'm usually
24 years old.
Well, see, that was my whole point. You know, this isn't like bringing in Marcel Dion. You know, you go out and you get Bobby Ryan. You're getting a guy that could be a Ranger for 10 years. You know, this isn't a rental. You know, plus he's signed for 2 or 3. I think he was signed. I think his contract doesn't run out until 2015, if I'm not mistaken. So you're getting a guy that's 24, could play for you for 10 years, and you don't have to worry about his contract for another 3.
Right.
You know, and, you know, I know we want to hold on to these chips that we got coming up, but, you know, sometimes I look at it, you know, again, you know, people talked about they'd probably want Kreider. Well, I know he's one of the blue chips, but you're talking about a guy that's still in college, hasn't done anything in the NHL, and then you got a guy who's 24 and's already got a couple of 30 goal seasons. You got a guy that you know can do it against a guy that you can hope can do it, and you're not talking about a big age difference. You know, I would have thought long and hard about it if they'd have wanted Kreider. It would have depended what else they wanted, honestly. I'm always a fan of, you know, if you get a guy that you know can do it and is still young, where's the loss? You know, what are you losing? I know. Keep Kreider. Right, because he's got as many goals for the Rangers as I do. You know?
and you run to that factor, too, where, you know, you made a great point that, you know, Kreider looks like he's going to be an absolute stud. I mean, he's extremely fast. He's really what the team lacks. I mean, with the exception of Haglund, the team is not ridiculously quick. You know, Gabrick's, you know, I guess we could constitute him as fast, but Kreider's unbelievably fast. So I'm with you, Jim. I'm a big, huge Chris Kreider fan. But you get these guys sometimes, and supposedly the Rangers farm system is very deep. You know, Sadler always figures out a way to get these guys without sacrificing a ton.
Right.
And he has a history of making trades with Anaheim. And if you can get Ryan and without decimating your current roster, like, I don't think you could get rid of Anisimov and Dubinsky and replace him with Ryan. I mean, I know Ryan's probably going to be more talented than both of those guys put together. I just don't know if you're trying to make a run at the Cup or for the even for the future, if you want to take two guys off your present roster and replace them with one. Now, if it was Dubinsky, Zuccarello, and maybe a defenseman, I said maybe McElrath, maybe I would do something along those lines. Somewhere in that vicinity.
Well, they were looking at defensemen. They needed defensive, but then Boudreaux took over and the whole thing was, you know, put to rest, put to bed.
Right.
But like you said, trading deadline, does the price go up for Bobby Ryan? Probably.
I think if the Rangers go for him, they're going to go for him like they did with Walski last year. In late January, early February, somewhere in that vicinity, that way it gives them time to get acclimated with the team. And it really all contingent on how well Anaheim plays. And I'll be telling you the truth. I've been rooting against him. One, I hate Boudreaux. I hate his guts, so I want him to fail anyway he goes. And secondly, if we have a shot at Bobby Ryan, the team has to be bad. So we want to root against Anaheim as much as possible.
Yeah, you know.
Well, their situation hasn't improved much yet either, but I know it's only been about, a week, 2 weeks since Boudreaux took over.
And the idea of them wanting Michael Delzato, to me, doesn't make any sense because they have Cam Fowler. If anything, they need a defenseman that can bang bodies. Delzato doesn't help them on the blue line from a defensive standpoint. Though he's played well and his plus-minus has been through the roof.
That doesn't mean anything.
That's not the guy they need. That's not the type of guy they need. So we'll see. There's not much to complain about this team, guys. So I'm excited. And
we still got the broadcast. I can always complain about that.
Oh, yeah. No, you guys are great with that. I can't. You send those texts out, I start cracking up at work. I'm like, what are you laughing at? And, you know, most people won't understand. So.
Oh, when I'm on Twitter during the game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got to say, Jim, you're like the fucking Don Rickles of Twitter. You really are. You got a wit about you that's unparalleled. And listen, I'm a student of comedy. And frankly, I have a big ego, and I don't like to give compliments. But really, you are. Really. I mean, you're fantastic. I think everybody should follow you. Now, I'm going to ask you this question. This was bantered about on some of the message boards about Michael Sauer before the injury. Do you think Michael Sauer would be a fifth or sixth defenseman on a really good team? Like, some Ranger fans are saying that Michael Sauer is not a top four defenseman.
Well, what do you, like who? He's not a top four defenseman on Pittsburgh. May be a top four defenseman in Philly.
Chicago?
Jalmerson?
You know what? He's a top four defenseman on this team, and I'm happy to have him.
I agree with you, Jim. I'm with you 100%.
I say the Rangers are a good team.
Yeah. My only thing is,
the argument in that.
No, and I agree with you guys wholeheartedly. I just said that the only reason I brought up Bobby Ryan was because you try to make improvements when your team is playing well. Because when you start trying to make improvements when your team is playing bad, that's when teams hold you up for ransom. You have to try to get a guy like that or a player or improve your team from when you're dealing from an area of strength. Not when you're scrambling around because Alexander Frolov tore his ACL and now you're scrambling around to find anybody to take his place.
For the heartbeat. And plus, it's less pressure for the guy coming in. He's coming into a winning situation, a locker room that's accepting and just all together and fun, as opposed to they're all looking at you saying, you know what, you got to bail us out of this shit.
Guys, I just want to leave you with this one last thing, and I'll let you go. I don't want to take any more of your time. The sixth defenseman that's presently constituted, let's for argument's sake say that Stahl and Sauer are done for the season. Let's, you know, hope that that's not the case. Do you feel these six defensemen that they have on defense right now is enough to get past the elite teams in the Eastern Conference? Now, no Sauer, no Stahl. Now, right now they're playing great. Hope that they stay this way. Do you feel that this group of six defensemen, one of which is Michael Delzato, who we had penciled in to even make the team this year, do you feel that these six defensemen as presently constituted are enough to make a run in the playoffs?
It's tough. Well, if I can go first, I would say that it's tough to say because they've only been without Sauer for, what, 3-4 games?
Mm-hmm.
So we don't know yet how that's going to affect everybody else. You know, four games, they've survived. You know, but 10 games, you know, 10 games from now, 13 games from now, could be a problem. I would lean towards no because I don't see how Girardi's not going to collapse from playing 30 minutes a night every night for the next 4 months. You know, I mean, where are we? We're still 5 months from the playoffs.
Right.
4 months, four and a half. So, you know, that's a lot of nights logging 30 minutes for that guy. I mean, the guy's made of iron. There's no doubt about it. But, you know, eventually that it's got to catch up to him. I don't care how good they condition themselves on that team.
Mm-hmm.
So,
my answer is individually, no. I mean, you know, Steve Hemminger did not play well down the stretch last year. He's benched a lot. Wojtyla has been solid, but he's Jeff Wojtyla.
Right.
Anton Stroman, the Sausage King. Chicago.
Boxes by Stroman.
But as a unit, as a cohesive unit, the way the Rangers play, it's really not about, you know, it's like the Borg. You've got to assimilate.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, and they do play as a group very well. But the people are mentioning in the chat room, Dan Girardi, he's playing absurd amount of minutes. He plays his first line. Plays his first line defense to the ground. He did that when Stoll was healthy. The short answer is no individually, but the Rangers, they do it. I know Tim Erickson's hurt now, but I think Tim Erickson could be brought up. I think he's played fairly well in before he got sent down. I don't know how much deeper they are than that. Are you looking for a possibility of them maybe acquiring somebody on the back line?
I don't know, guys. Like I said, I mean, you know, you look at the team and they're playing great, and you don't want to be the pessimist, or you don't want that. Because they're playing well right now. I just question whether or not some play, like Jim said, well, whether Girardi and McDonough and Delzato, especially those three guys, will they wear down as the season progresses? Steve Hemminger hasn't really played. I mean, he's on pace to play the full season at this point, where he was penciled in to be our seventh defenseman. So,
I think at this point, Rocket,
I don't know.
I think at this point, it's February's problem.
Right. You're right.
You can't worry about it right now.
Playing devil's advocate, that's all.
Yeah, oh, no, I see what you're doing, but, you know, see how it shakes out. We don't know how long Sauer's going to be out.
Right.
You know, they're never going to tell you how long Stahl's going to be out, just that he's not ready. So,
right.
But at this point, assume it's, you know, no time soon.
Right.
And, you know, when they get to January and February and it's truly decided who the haves and have-nots are in the league, then I'm sure Magoo will be working his magic and, you know, getting Derek Morris.
Well, the Paul Mara.
Just sit by the phone.
Yeah, that kind of died down quick. I'm sure Tortorella got fit this year after that one.
Probably. Yeah.
All right, guys, listen, I don't want to take any more of your time. It was great talking to you, and I'll be listening the rest of the night. And
all right, Rock. See you at the viewing party?
Right? Absolutely. I'm not going to miss it this time.
All right, cool. Two weeks from
here, Rock.
Be good.
Yeah.
I missed you, bro. I missed you.
The great Rock. Good to have him back. All right, let's see. We got one more phone call on the line. 646-478-4692. I don't know what happened with Mr. Cosell, but we'll see. 347-870, you're on Blue Shirt Underground Radio. Who's this?
It's Jimmy T.
Jimmy T, he promised he was calling in tonight.
What's going on?
How are
you? Mr. Don Rickles a la Twitter and my friend Eddie over there. What's going on? Listen, I've been dying to ask you a question, Eddie. How much is Jeff and Fred Wilpon paying you to wear that jacket, bro?
They paid me. Actually, yeah, well, they didn't pay me. I actually got that for absolutely free.
Well, I don't blame you. I don't blame them for giving it away. But listen, I just want to chime in real quick on Dubinsky. Everybody's talking about Dubinsky. I personally feel that Dubinsky, who is one of the original PAC members, the only guy who came up who's not wearing a captaincy on his jersey, lost his fire.
Could
be. You know what I'm saying? Like, 100%, that's what it is. I mean, this guy used to be involved in every single play. You know, if somebody got in Lundqvist's face, he'd be over there giving him the stank glove, what I used to call the doobie facial. I haven't seen him do that in a while.
Now, are you saying it's because he was passed over for a letter?
Absolutely. It's pride. It's pride. The guy used to leave, you know, he played just as hard as Callahan did every night. It wasn't that long ago that, you know, this guy really used to be on the ice every single shift, giving it his all. You know what I mean? Throwing his body around, skating, playing two-way. You know what I mean? So it's like, I think that's definitely what it is. Like, he came up before Callahan. It's kind of like seeing, you know, the big brother sees the little brother doing better than he is. You know what I mean? He's got that.
That never happened with my brothers.
And enough
that
about Brian Boyle.
Used to hit him with a
Brian Boyle's a fourth-line player. All right? Everybody got spoiled by him last year. He's a fourth-line player. That's all he'll ever be. And about this celebration.
He's a fifth-line player right now.
He's a fifth-line. Listen, let Artie live. Let Artie Anisimov live. He scored a goal. He did a celebration. I hope he does it for the rest of the season every time he scores a goal. And, you know, you got Joe Micheletti. Somebody needs to throw a towel over this guy's head and put him in the bathroom with his comments. I'm sick of listening to this guy. He's a mush.
Oh, I love that term.
I can't
He's a mush. I haven't heard that in years. That's great. I'll get...
Not for nothing. And, one more thing. Like,
wait. Young Jimmy D. Let me tell you, I'm very impressed by your initial phone call. Let me tell you. Second of all, I actually forgot what it meant. Second of all, you're a little bit of a troublemaker, and I like that.
I know. I'm like the Sean Avery of the Blue Shirt Banter group. Most people don't know this, but I was banned once before.
Really?
As Jim.
You were where? What did we banned you from the chat room? I think didn't
foul
we?
Foul language.
Yeah, you were really going off one night, I think.
I'm that's all right. I'm like Sean Avery. I come back, everybody loves me. It's all good.
You might have did you drop an N-bomb? Was that what
I don't know. I don't even remember.
It was like 2 years ago.
I remember
ago.
Going off one night. Who knows what I said?
Well, it's a great first call, Jimmy. We hope there'll be plenty more. You gonna come see us at the viewing party?
Now, he's got some more to say, though.
Yeah, send me some information about that. Yeah, I got one more thing, but yeah, send me some information. I'll definitely come through.
What more do you need? That the Blarney Rock in the city, 2 weeks from Wednesday, they're playing the Capitals, and me and Eddie will be there. That's the information you need.
That sounds good to me, bro. I'll bring a few girls by. We'll have some fun.
Well, see, now we're talking.
Exactly. I just wanted to say one more thing, please, before you let me go. I got the fatherly juices running right now. I might as well get this off my chest. I'm sick and tired of seeing Al Trodwig doing Ranger games, Nick games, day in and day out. Did anybody ever look at his mouth? How are you on television and you have a mouth like that? I mean, get your teeth fixed. He's way past the toothbrush. You need implants, buddy. Let's go. Put him in the bathroom.
He looks like a duck.
Put him in the bathroom. He's a mush.
Fatherly juices.
Have a great night, guys. I don't want to be on the phone for 20 minutes like the last guy.
Oh. Jimmy, right. Promise you'll call again. Oh, young up. All right.
Fatherly juices. Fatherly juices.
Great first call from young Jimmy T. He's been around a long time, and yeah, he did get
Fatherly
banned.
Fatherly juices.
I think he dropped an N-bomb. He might have dropped in the chat room or something. I don't remember what it was. So since he brought it up, can I get on to the broadcast? Can I go?
Yeah.
Now, did you get to watch I know you were gone. Did you watch the Buffalo game? Did you catch – what did you watch? Did you DVR the whole thing?
Yeah, I DVR'd. I watched it on DVR, quickie, you know, fast forward.
Kind of scanned through it. The very beginning of the game. Right? They're talking, you know, Saturday night, whatever. Saturday night. Great night to be here in Buffalo. Joe McLetty says, there's always a great atmosphere in this building. Always a great atmosphere in Buffalo, right? Middle of the second period, it's deathly quiet in that place. I mean, you could hear a pin drop on a carpet in Niagara Falls. That's how quiet it was.
I wouldn't say that.
And Micheletti says, well, you know, the fans have been quiet here all year. I'm like, I thought it was a great atmosphere. Great atmosphere for what? Reading a book? He's such a fucking... World's biggest library. Don't. And then you got Dave Maloney, of course, the Callahans were there. They were in Suite 11. We heard about this all night long. They were still talking about it last night. Suite 11 at the The first Niagara Center or whatever that arena is called now. So Maloney's up there with the Callahans. So of course I was tweeting about that. Maloney just grabbed a bottle of Jameson's and Mrs. Callahan's tit in Suite 11. Dave Maloney now pantsless in Suite 11. It was just so bad. And then you got to listen to Giannone both days of the weekend because Sam's off doing football or rugby or a dog show or something.
It's funny how he's totally promoting what an atmosphere. It was terrible. I noticed it when I was just going through it. I don't know if it's because Jonas Enroth played net and not their god Ryan Miller. But what about this Dave Maloney's training for the Winter Classic bit? Is that
How old is he? He's got to be around 60 now, right? I'm just guessing. I'm just late 50s, 60-ish. He's about the same age as Greshner.
Somebody get me Dave Maloney's. What about our intern? Kristen, the intern. Go get. I thought we'd start calling all the women. Sue Papagallo, the intern. Give me Dave Maloney's age.
Dave Giannotto, the intern. Give me Dave Maloney's age.
We have these guy interns. That's kind of gay, right? Not that anything's wrong with it.
Yeah, I don't know. The big announcement that Messier's played in the alumni game. Like, was there ever a doubt that he was going to play in this game?
No.
I said in the group the other day, I said, I wish he wasn't playing. I really do.
No, he's not a Ranger.
It's not that.
I really done a turnaround with him. In 94, I would have done anything but just over the years, I'm just sick and tired of seeing his bald head and what he's doing. Everything is so great with Mark, and he's running a marathon.
Hey, Maloney is 55. Thank you, Chris the intern. And Sue the intern. And Coast to the intern. He's a phony baloney. I love him too. I'd have done god awful things to him. Things that would have gotten me kicked out of at least 10 states in this nation in 1994. But he's a phony baloney, and he casts a shadow over everything. We say, oh, this big announcement in between periods.
Oh, wow.
I wonder what it's going to be.
Don't embarrass me, but I got to tell you.
And you know, I mean, it's human nature. You know, Leach and Graves were just sitting there saying, that bastard's going to fucking upstage us again. You know? Graves was thinking, oh, maybe I'll get to wear the C this time around.
Well, Leach.
Yeah. Oh, here he comes. Here he comes. The captain. And then that was the other thing. When they were getting ready to interview him in between periods, Al Troutwick says, everyone knows there's only one captain, and we're going to talk to him after the first period. I found that highly disrespectful to Ryan Callahan.
I also find it highly disrespectful for Barry Beck. Or Walter Kachuk.
Or Dave Maloney.
No, Dave Maloney sucks. Get that out of the way.
I just wanted to throw that in. I just wanted to give you a slow
Dave Maloney was bad. Everybody hated him. He was Wade Redden before there was a Wade Redden. Fans disliked him. I was 13 years old, and I had men who had seen worse players than him in years gone by would say, Maloney sucks. Why don't you turtle again, you fag? Not that there's anything wrong with that. But Dave Maloney was hated. He was only made the captain because he was like the youngest guy on the team. They were trying to build like a whole new image.
Right.
He was terrible. Oh, and he talks about his years in Buffalo. Maybe that's why they're all jazzed up there. He got traded to Buffalo, was let go. And it's
traded
funny.
Was he traded for Wilf Paymont?
Might have been.
I have to look that up.
Dave Maloney sucked. Yeah.
Amy the intern, can you tell me who Dave Maloney was traded for?
I know Ricky remembers this. I know several other guys who are the older guys. There was a play where John Davidson, another guy, but I like John Davidson, a lovely man. Lovely, lovely man. One of the worst goaltenders ever played net. Yeah, I can say that, even though he went to the Stanley Cup and he carried the Rangers to the Stanley Cup Finals. Probably the worst skater ever to lace them up in hockey history. He made Dale Purinton look like Dorothy Hamill. Okay? This is how bad this guy was. JD goes down. He flops all over the ice. He winds up on his belly. Maloney is skating back after the goal. He's pissed that the goal went in the net. He goes to slam his stick on the ice. He slams it on top of the back of JD's leg. JD starts writhing in agony. I mean, it's one of the most hilarious scenes. I wish I had video of it. I always hated Dave Maloney. I was brought up to hate Dave Maloney. The fact that they address him as a captain, even when they did, and yes, I think it is disrespectful to Callahan. Going to make a go back to your initial, there was certainly. Now, Chris Drury, I think, was the worst captain in Dave Maloney. It shows you how bad Chris Drury was. But and he's always, I had a great experience at Buffalo. I met Dave Maloney. He was a nice guy. What can I tell you? But as far as, and Russ Cohen and Raider and their 100 greats, they have rated way too high. Way too high. Are you kidding me? Fatu is number 100, and he's like number 25. Dave Maloney, 31, something like that. Get one of these interns to figure out what he is in the 100 range of grades.
Where's my book? Oh, there it is. Go ahead, keep talking. I'm grabbing my book.
Storm said he met Roger Bear. I heard Roger Bear is heavy on the meds. He's got some emotional problems.
Self-medicates.
Yeah, no, not self-medicates. He's on some. He's got some kind of bipolar condition.
Oh. Everybody's got a mental case.
And speaking of which one, here comes the green bastard. This is,
Who comes who?
That guy that jerk off is in the chat room again. The green bastard. How do I act it now?
You know how to kick him out?
Yeah, I'll get him.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Get out of here. Here's just in time for a Sam Rosenbad call.
And a deflection and score.
Score.
Callahan and Marion Gaborik representing the Rangers. And a deflection and score. Brian Boyle, I think,
yes.
Up high,
yes.
With a deflection. It's a power play goal.
When Joe's telling a story. No.
Fatherly juices.
Joe. You got to be in it to win it, Joe. I'm trying, Sammy. I'm playing every day.
Well, Dave Maloney running the stairs instead of using the elevator.
Dave Maloney just ran out of Sweet 11 with a bottle of Jameson's and a hickey.
Pat Hickey.
Not even a Pat Hickey. A Greg Hickey. Don Maloney was 26. I found him. Still
number 26 Ranger of all time?
Don Maloney, baby. I like Don Maloney.
I want to know who's responsible for that. I think it's Cohen.
Couldn't be Adam Rader. How is Anders Hedberg only 36 on this list? You know, the other night, Dan Girardi took, I think it was in the Buffalo game, he took a very long shift. I think they said it was almost 3 minutes long. He was on the ice, and I said that Girardi was taking a Kovalev shift, and somebody asked me, what does that mean? I felt so old. I had to explain to him when Keenan left him on the ice for 5 minutes as punishment, and he thought he was being rewarded. How is Ron Duguay 49th in this book? Sorry.
He's played with the Rangers, what, twice? Two tenures with the Rangers, I think.
So what? If that means anything, then Martin Rutschinski should be first. Did he play for them three times? What about Peter Nedved? There's John Davidson, number 56.
Get out of here.
I'm serious.
John Davidson's career stats. They're atrocious. I love John
Davidson.
I'll never forget.
I mean, I barely knew you at this point. I think I was just discovering who you were. And you had done a video on John Davidson, and it was just one bad goal after another. And I sent the video to my dad. I'm like, you got to watch this video. I said, this guy put it together. I said, it's all John Davidson, real old stuff. My dad replies to the email. He's like, boy, Davidson sure looked bad in that video.
Plenty more.
Eddie Johnstone, number 65.
I told you what Pete Stemkowski told me about Eddie Johnstone.
What's that?
And I met Pete Stemkowski, and he was looking through the book. He goes, that guy couldn't even tie my skates. Like, I loved Eddie Johnstone.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. By the way, speaking of Mark Messier, now that he's on the team, is he going to kick Mike Gartner off?
Yeah,
I went there.
How are you working on the surprise, surprise, surprise guest? The earth-shattering one. How's that working? Anything going on?
I have not heard back from him yet. We will go after. I will succeed where others have failed, as you would say. I will go after their PR department.
I think we should tell him.
I want to have some fun with that announcement. I was actually hoping I would get an email back Friday, and I was literally going to drag you on the air for like 15 minutes just to make that announcement. I mean, that's going to be a huge, huge,
that's a huge announcement. That will be a huge announcement because I think it will be very divisive on how the Ranger fans will take this man. But that's all I can say because I don't want to give it away.
No, Messier wanted
my
Gartner
buddy.
Out. That's right. My buddy.
My buddy.
Messier didn't want anything to do with Gartner. He didn't like Gartner. Gartner wasn't tough enough for Messier. He wasn't Messier's type of player.
I don't know. You know, I love Mark Messier for what he did, but...
Of course.
He's just so... You know, he won't get married. He's got to plant his seed with, like, four different ladies. He's like... No, it's just like, you know, everything he's got to do, you know, dating Madonna, he's just so egotistical. I hate the way he looks now. Oh, Messier's taking a shit. Let's get a camera over there.
You know, you were talking about Tortorella before. I thought it was a nice touch by him. I don't know if you noticed, at the end of the Buffalo game, when he put Hagelin out there with Brad Richards, which I thought was nice. He put him out there with the guy who would be best able to get him the puck to try and get that hat trick. And then Gabrick scored, and I thought that kind of screwed up Hagelin's shot at a hat trick because Buffalo might have pulled the goaltender down two, but once Gabrick scored, they were down three.
Yeah. What are they wishing for freaking... the announcers wishing for open net goals to get guys started. I'm going to say... And, you know, Rock was right. Young Jimmy T, you know, he did call this show Blue Shirt Banner Radio. Mistake one. It's Blue Shirt Underground Radio. It's one demerit, Jimmy. One demerit.
I didn't even realize he did that. Nice pickup.
Yeah. By the way, I'm listening all the time, especially when we get a new call. He gets a Wilpon joke in there, and that's nice. I'm going to suffocate him with that jacket when he shows up with those two chicks. Believe me, that jacket's big enough. We use it as a body bag. He's getting all crazy on me. So anyway, what else we got, Rob?
What else is in the news? You know what? When things are going well with the Rangers, an hour and a half show is long enough, I think. Nobody's calling in. Nobody's bitching.
Why don't we have two shows this week if we got nothing to talk about?
excuse me. Three shows was your idea.
Well, I know how bad this one's going to go.
I said you... Oh, that's terrible.
I'm only kidding.
I said you want to do Monday and Saturday? No, we'll do Monday, Wednesday, and Saturday. Yeah, of course. It's all my fault. Saturday will be a fun show. And Wednesday will be fun. Maybe we'll start Wednesday night at 8:30 instead of 8. Scale it back to an hour and a half because we'll only have the one game tomorrow against Dallas. Then they got St. Louis and then Phoenix, and it'll be fun. Be getting together with the Phoenix contingent for that game. Might even take my wife to the game on Saturday. We'll see.
When she's at the game, does she get what's going on, or is it, you know, she's got to pay attention to maybe?
She's gotten better. She understands the game better now than she did 3 years ago. I have only taken her to one hockey game. That was about 10 years ago. I took her to see the Coyotes and Blackhawks.
My wife's good at the game. She's always asking questions. You know, so it's good, you know. Except when, like, it's crucial times in the game, and, like, I don't really have time for questions. I'm using all my mental capacities to impact the game. You know, because I actually believe that if I concentrate hard enough, the Rangers will do what I'm thinking. Do you do that? Do you go into some kind of trance?
More so when I'm watching the Giants than the Rangers. I'm aware of my surroundings when the Rangers are on. Last night, no lie, I was watching the game and my wife was talking to me and I did not hear a word of it. Not a word. I mean, she's talking, telling me this whole big story. And I just looked at her and I went, huh? And I was sitting right next to her, but I did not hear a word she said. It's worse when the Giants are on. Rangers, I could watch the game and still, which is odd because it's a fast, you know, constant action, faster pace, but good pace. So
good pace.
We got another phone call.
All right, bring them on.
Might be a new phone. I don't recognize the number. 201-916. You're on Blue Shirt Underground Radio. Who's this?
Yo, what's up?
How are you?
How are ya? You want some cupcakes with some frosting?
So what's going on?
I thought you guys are bored. You said nobody's calling, so I thought I'd call in.
Well, Kristen...
It's your fucking intern.
Oh, it's our fucking intern. We have an intern just for fucking, ladies and gentlemen.
About time.
Yes. No, wait, no. Can't have that reputation, sorry.
I know you.
That's Costa. Costa is your fucking intern for that. You can use him.
That's about the way my luck runs.
So what's going on? So what's going on, Kristen? Are you high on your Rangers or are you just high?
Oh, yeah, I'm both. Actually, I'm on some sleeping pills, so I'm on down. Anyways, did you know that I was behind the scenes after the Philadelphia game? My crazy cousin, right? My crazy cousin, Jill. Yeah, you remember her.
The one who showed me her tattoo.
Her ex-boyfriend was nice to somebody, and it turned out he's head of NHL security. So after the Philly game, we got to go behind the scenes. And I was there standing, and I saw a stadium there. I saw all the Philadelphia players. And then I got to hang out. Then we got to go in the locker room. A lot of the players are still in there. getting, you know, working out. Avery, I saw Prusty, Callahan, Dubinsky. Too bad I didn't hear that song before. I would have been singing that in my head when I saw him. And of course, you know, I couldn't leave without getting Henrik. So I got to hang out with Henrik. What was that? What kind of sound bit was that?
You were laughing.
The laugh track.
Like are they
Nash.
Laughing at me or laughing with me?
No, they're laughing with you because you tried to get Henrik.
Oh, I got Henrik. Don't worry. And I talked to him, too.
Well, what did he have to say? Did you talk to him about goaltending? Because I know I heard Henrik likes to hear, likes to talk about goaltending and all the nuances that go on with it.
No, I didn't talk to him.
What'd you talk to him about then? She gone? Am
and
I gone?
People were making fun of me, so I asked him if he had gotten the gift I gave him like 2 years ago. And I totally forgot what it was, and he remembered, so I knew he got it because I didn't say the name of the place. I said I gave him a gift card. He looked to Houston, so he remembered. His wife was there, so I don't want to, you know, bother
she
him
one
too
of these,
much.
She one of these wives that's all, like, hanging over him now? Like, she worried about other
yeah.
girls and stuff?
There's definitely a language barrier here.
All right.
Anyway.
Well, Chris. Well,
hey, listen. I want to ask you a question.
There's definitely.
I want to ask you something, Downey. You think that he should have been suspended? Womp, womp, womp.
If you jump, if you jump the bench, you should be. You should. I can't speak. You should be suspended. Yes, he should have been suspended. That guy, to me, Steve Downey, is one of the most useless players in the National Hockey League, and he's been that way for a while. He serves no purpose whatsoever on the ice.
So how do you think he got out of it then? Do you think he said, because I thought they were saying because he was ready to change lines because he was sitting on top, you know, over
yeah,
the board?
He may have said, I was changing lines, you know. I don't know. You know how these things, how did Artie get 4 minutes for roughing and all that?
Oh, that's a bunch of shit. Yeah. Remember, I was saying that on the page because Artie's like, you know, James Bond, Bond, James Bond, you know? I knew that he was just playing, you know, he wouldn't do that to anybody, you know. He was just shooting at the net. He wasn't shooting at the guy, but, you know, people are better
at
it, you know.
Chris, if you look at it close, he aimed right at Garon. That was pretty good. I mean, I still love it. I mean, I love that kind of stuff. I like anything out of
the ordinary. Yeah, but he was right in front of the net. It doesn't matter. I really think he didn't realize he just knew that he made the goal. You know when you make a goal and you're on a high, you don't even know what you're looking at. You just do an action. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you do something, you don't even know what's in front of you. Just like Jim said that he's watching the game and his wife's trying to talk to him and he didn't hear a word she was saying. You're zoned out. He probably was zoned in at that moment.
There's definitely a language barrier here.
I have no idea what you just said.
Yeah, because I talk fast.
You talk way too fast. We've got tons of more callers here.
Oh, finally got callers, right? Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye, peace.
Okay, take care.
Bye.
Holy moly. She was talking.
Oh. Our guest is here.
The guest shows up 12 minutes before the show? I mean, this is highly, this is a simple radio show.
Where's all our clips? Where are they? Hold on. We need one
absolutely.
Of them here. There we go.
It's just insanity.
Oh, here it is.
I don't know what the fuck you people do.
That's my favorite. Well, welcome to the program, Colin Cosell.
Thank you so much, gentlemen. I apologize for my tardiness. This night has turned into a complete, crap show, I guess we'll call it, if we're going to try to maintain a veneer of professionalism.
Nah.
Never do that here.
Oh, beautiful. Then, yeah, it was a total shit show.
Excellent. So,
how are we doing tonight, guys?
Well, we're doing good. We had this major build-up for you the first 15 minutes of the show, and then you didn't show up, and you know, we've completely lost track of what we were going to talk to you about when we actually got you here. And
I sincerely apologize. That is completely, completely out of character for me. But, you know, Monday nights are darts nights. And
darts
everything
huge,
got off to a very late start because I had to give a buddy of mine a ride. And, well, you know how it goes.
No problem. We appreciate you being here. And then we're going to join you Wednesday night for your show, the after party, we're calling it.
Oh, that's going to be that's going to be an even bigger shit show. I can't wait for that. That's going to be awesome.
Now, is your co-host, is he not a Ranger fan?
He's an Edmonton Oilers fan, and only because he lives in Saskatchewan. And
for a while, like being a Ranger fan.
Well, I say that he actually gives the show credibility because he's got the Canadian accent. So that's really the only credibility my show has.
So there'll be a lot of boots and organizations.
Yeah, he kind of goes through the show and he's like, well, let me tell you something. There's something so great about these people. They come from Canada. You know, and he goes on and on. But he's awesome. His name is Jason Knox, and you're going to love him.
Cool. We're looking forward to it. So I was looking at your website, which I think is just ColinCosell.com, right?
Well, that's my professional website. My goofy website is The Lighter Side of Sports. It's a comedic, spin on the world of sports. It's TLSOS.com, which just so happens to be The Lighter Side of Sports abbreviated.
Oh.
Yeah. We're fancy like that.
I see what you did there.
Yeah.
And you've also you worked on MSG previously. You worked for the,
I currently work for MSG Varsity. We're a subdivision of MSG Network, and we.
Well, you still do work for MSG.
Yes. Yeah.
Well,
we're the sister.
Not for long.
We
hear you on this program.
Well, we cover high school sports, so I'm pretty sure there's a complete disconnect because, well, let's face it, the Dolan family doesn't care about any of us.
Wow.
Yeah,
for the most of those varsity, like I watch the high school games. Who's the guy?
Yeah, that's us.
Who does the play-by-play on most of those games?
It depends on the region. I mean, it varies. They somehow pulled in Amani Toomer into the mix to cover football for them, but I mostly cover hockey and a little bit of basketball, volleyball, baseball, lacrosse. You know, like whatever they ask, but mostly hockey.
Okay.
Yeah, no, it's exciting stuff.
And as we were telling the our audience before, you are a grandson of the late great Howard Cosell, who is a favorite of both Eddie and mine.
Oh.
Never has there been a greater abomination in the history of sports broadcasting than my grandson, Colin Cosell, trying to make a name for himself in this godforsaken industry.
Very good. All right.
Well, when you grow up with the voice, you know, like, son, get in here. There's a one-armed pitcher about to throw a no-hitter for the Yankees.
Jim Abbott.
Yep. Labor Day weekend. It was Friday, September 3rd, I believe, 1993. Or September 9th, I forget. But it was 1993. It was a Friday afternoon. I was swimming in the pool at my grandfather's house on Long Island. I said, son, where are you? I'm swimming in the pool, Pop. Get in here. There's a one-armed pitcher about to throw a no-hitter. You need to save it.
Well, he didn't sell. He wasn't kidding. He does. He's got the imitation down.
Of course, he's related.
Yeah, well,
you grow up with it. I mean, we turned him into a hockey fan. We turned Howard Cosell, his grandkids, my brothers and I, turned him into a Rangers fan, and it got to the point where he became a huge fan of John Van Beesbrook and became friendly with him. So, you know, just to get a rise out of us, he'd go around the house and be a Beeza, dun dun, Beeza.
BBK in the USA.
Now, do you ever Hey, do you ever sit and watch, like, you ever see, like, old 70s TV stars and say things like, Telly Savalas over here for the ABC team watching
Jake
the old...
Kaplan in the kayak race.
You want to know the really effed up thing about Telly Savalas? My grandfather's only sibling, his brother Hilton, okay, Hilton Cosell, sounded exactly, on a regular basis, sounded exactly like Telly Savalas. And whenever he would call the house to check in, you know, with his grand nieces and nephews and his niece, my mom, I'd get on the phone and say, you know, hi, Hilton, how are you? And he'd say, good, how are you doing? I'm like, oh, I'm good. You got a girlfriend? No, I'm 6 years old. I don't have a girlfriend. What, are you queer? So, they had Howard the lawyer and then Hilton the hard ass. It was great.
Somebody posted a video on Facebook. It was an old, just like 2 weeks ago, an old clip from Battle of the Network Stars. And I guess it was like a big... There was an argument that the ABC was complaining that NBC had cheated and Howard was trying to mediate the whole thing. But he's talking to Telly Savalas, and Telly Savalas has got, like, this big, long cigarette hanging out of his mouth. And I'm just thinking how funny it was that, like, not only was he smoking on TV, but, you know, it's an athletic competition, supposedly, and he's got, like, this big cigarette hanging out of his mouth. But Howard was, like, so serious trying to mediate this. Like, it was, you know, like, it was the... Like it was the Olympic basketball controversy all over again, you know.
Oh,
well, hold on, we'll get Lonnie Anderson over here to straighten this out, you know.
Yeah, he took everything he did seriously, even when it was something like Battle of the Network Stars. But, I mean, you got to think, back in those days, you could also, like, smoke cigarettes while your wife was giving birth. So, you know, it was a very different time then.
Yeah, it was just funny to see.
Lonnie Anderson.
Lonnie Anderson, come over here and show everyone exactly what you're made of.
Right there.
She invented the term camel toe long before Celine Dion knew what it was.
Very good. See, I could do Howard. Howard is one of those guys, like, I'll be on a trip, like, you know, with all my friends, and then we'll start doing Howard, and then everybody's doing Howard for the whole day. Like, you know, we're at a baseball game, and it's suddenly ridiculous.
Hey, I cannot tell you, you know, in my lifetime, I can't tell you how many people have done the imitation, and it's, yours is actually...
I don't know, what the fuck you people do?
Yep, that's what I was told every day on Christmas morning. Every Christmas morning. We're the grandkids. We're right here, Pop. I don't know what the fuck you people do. Well, we kind of exist. We play with G.I. Joes. What we do. We're kids.
Isn't there a guy going around dressed up as Howard? Like, he shows up at these events.
Yeah, he goes by the moniker Mr. C in Heaven on YouTube, and I would love nothing more than to slap a lawsuit on his ass. A, because it's a direct infraction on Howard's estate, but B, he's making money off of my grandfather's name.
Just beat him up.
And not only that, but I've seen he's not a, he's
not
no
good.
Good. He's not any good.
It's a sports jack. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You throw in a toupee with a really bad comb over. You throw on a yellow jacket and you throw on big 1978 like sunglasses and you call yourself Howard Cosell and you do a shoddy imitation. It should be. I would love to take that dude to court.
We will help you spearhead the campaign. Starts now. Somebody start a Facebook page.
We can start this. Actually, I do have a Facebook page dedicated to getting my grandfather inducted to the Pro Football Hall of Fame, which he is not.
How do we find that?
It is facebook.com/ Cosell NFL.
Duck Howard Cosell, the Pro Football Hall of Fame?
Yeah, it's facebook.com/ Cosell NFL. And just go there, like the page. It's kind of like an online, gathering. It's kind of our own Occupy Wall Street. It's Occupy Canton.
Occupy Cosell.
Yep, and yeah, we're trying to get him inducted. You know, there's two things you can get, and they've made a definitive line between the two. The P. Rozelle Award, which is for media, and then an actual induction to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And we firmly believe that my grandfather did enough for the sport of football by their criteria for induction to actually be inducted to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. So we're working on that dutifully on a regular basis.
Yeah, I mean, he certainly, you know, for my generation, I mean, he made Monday Night Football. You know, before, you know, there were ESPNs, the highlight shows, which he did during halftime, which from what I've heard and read, he did those pretty much right on the spot. There was no script. He just basically winged it. And he was the most hated guy. I mean, you know, you talk about a guy who generated heat. I mean, this guy was hated just for his announcing.
Well, he was a sports fan long before he was a sports broadcast journalist. He was a lawyer until he was almost 40 years old. And when most people are starting to think about retirement, he was thinking about a career change, which was unheard of in those days. And at that time, you know, he was a Jew trying to get into media. And I know that sounds strange to probably all of your listeners, because now they call it the quote-unquote Jew-run media, but he was...
Mel Gibson on the other line. He'd like to speak with you. And Steve Carlton.
Oh, gotta go.
I'd just like to tell everybody right now I'm Jewish.
Mazel tov, bitches, I'm out. But no, my grandfather went into this industry, and they told him that he sounded too New York, which was not layman's terms, but it was sugarcoating the way of saying he sounded Jewish. And so he really had to bust his ass to get in the industry, and then he took on some guy named Cassius Clay, and it all, you know, kind of evolved from there.
Mohammed.
Yes.
Mohammed.
The greatest of all time.
And we always talk about when he was on. We're all big Odd Couple fans on this on this program, so we always talk about when he was on the Odd Couple.
Yeah.
Get this inane drone out of my studio, and then he's doing the Giants game on Monday Night Football. When we come back after commercial, I'll tell you the four plays you just missed.
That nasal twang is the single most recognizable voice.
I forgot that line. And I was drinking when you said that. I almost choked.
I'm always good for a good snarf. It was really funny. A buddy of mine who actually works on the ICE crew at MSG, and he's one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet. He gave me a call on Thanksgiving morning. He goes, Colin, I don't know if you know this, but there is an Odd Couple marathon going on right now, and your grandfather's on. So immediately, you've got the entire Cosell clan, my mom, my brother, my sister, and significant others and, you know, family friends, all huddled around the TV watching that episode. And you know something? It's funny. We can't get enough of that. If there's a replay of a broadcast, you know, we'll kind of have it on in the background because we usually play it late at night, and they'll play, you know, an old Yankees game on Yes Network or something like that. But we will all call each other and say, hey, Papa's on the TV, you know, turn it on. And, you know, as we're falling asleep, we'll be lulled to the dulcet tones of Howard Cosell.
Didn't,
Reggie and Billy going at it in the dugout.
Yes.
Yogi is between them.
Jim. Well, I'll tell you something. One of my favorite calls is that third home run by Reggie Jackson. And that's when you really get the quintessential fan that my grandfather was. Because as soon as he hits it, you hear my grandfather going, oh, wow. He's getting excited. He's not being a broadcaster. He's being a fan. Oh, it's out of here. And if anybody had any questions about him, and, like, he just goes on and on. And he's, like, at the top of his lungs and just going nuts. And that's the stuff we love, because he was clearly a sports fan before he was a sports broadcaster. And
right.
I think that's what differentiated him between, the broadcasters that were with him at the time, the broadcasters that followed, and the inane dribble of the Joe Bucks of today.
Eddie, I'm sorry. What were you going to say? I cut you off.
No, I was going to say, now, didn't your grandmother die before Howard did?
Emmy Gam, as we called her. Gam died on November 18th of 1990, and it was 5 days before my birthday, and just a few days before Thanksgiving. So it was
after that. I mean, I know that's they say that happens. Was that
kind of... that was the end of him. But my grandfather was a very stubborn human being, and by most standards, if he had been your average Joe, he probably would have been gone by, I'd say, early 92. But, he wanted to stick around a little bit and keep an eye on his family. That's the person he was. That was his character. And, it wasn't until late 94, early 95, that he really, truly deteriorated. And he was facing a lot of medical issues, doctors found, and this is a fact that has not been written anywhere, nor has it been disclosed. So this is a Blue Shirt Underground exclusive. But he actually had a silent heart attack during a Monday Night Football broadcast. He didn't take particularly good care of himself. He was an athlete when he was younger, but as he got older, you're part of the generation that would have, midday cocktails during lunch. You're part of the generation that would meet at steakhouses for dinner. And you didn't really worry about Weight Watchers points at that time. And he had adult diabetes. He had heart issues. Multiple things. And as he got older, he had a series of mini strokes, and it was all a result of my grandmother's passing. Once my grandmother, started to fall ill, so did he. And it was kind of like that D.T. Eliot kind of connection. But he was too stubborn to let go. And then finally, on April 23rd of 1995, he did. And, when we all saw him that last time on Saturday, April 22nd, we all knew that was the final goodbye. And, he, for everything you read in the books, the latest book by Mark Grabowski or all the, things that they put out there, and they say he was a hard ass. Yeah, he was, because he knew he was smarter than everyone else out there. But he was, to the people that were his friends and the people that he appreciated and trusted and enjoyed, he was a true friend and had nothing but heart. And that was my grandfather.
Hmm. Wow.
Now that I've brought the show down.
I was about to say, so to your listeners out there, I hope you've got a warm bath and a razor blade. We're about to listen to The Cure.
I'm into Morrissey now. I get some peace and quiet up in the tizzy.
Now we're going to listen to Johnny Cash's cover of Nine Inch Nails, Hurt. It's going to be great.
Well, Colin, I look forward to being on your show.
Actually, I cannot wait. It's going to be a blast. It's going to be an absolute blast.
I'm looking more forward to being on your show than on this show.
Well, we might have to join forces and start making a just one gigantic mess of a show.
Well, that could happen.
Well, we've already got the mess.
Well, I can't wait to talk hockey with you. I must take my leave. This lugubrious, arid climate in my bedroom is making me ill. So, I got to go.
Colin, it's nice talking to you. We'll talk to you Wednesday night. As soon as our show's over, we'll come on.
Gentlemen, I greatly appreciate it. Thanks for having me on. And to your listeners out there, if they want to follow me on Twitter, it's at Cosell. And, of course, to get the Cosell induction to the Pro Football Hall of Fame, it's facebook.com/CosellNFL. And let's go Rangers, guys. Let's go Rangers.
Right.
Sounds good.
Take care, brother.
Talk to you later. Good night, everybody.
Right. Good night, gentlemen.